Thank you for listening to this week's sermon podcast by Dr. John Hanna. It is our hope and prayer that you will be encouraged in your faith and in your walk with Jesus. For more information, please go to springfieldchurch.org. Here now is the most recent message.
Father, I thank you for a wonderful spirit in church today as we sing, as we testify, as we just heard of how you are working in wonderful, miraculous, reconciling ways. You are indeed a great God, and you are always working to try to bring healing and salvation to a fractured world. Help us to cooperate with you, not fight against you, but to work with you, because you seek to make all things new. You seek to bring redemption to this broken creation. For those who are not feeling well today, Lord, and there are several, be with them as they're home resting. For those who are traveling, we pray for safe traveling mercies. But as we gather here today, Father, it is our desire to know you more, to grow deeper in you, and to reflect more clearly the love and light of Jesus Christ. We pray for our nation. We pray for our country. We pray for our city. We pray for healing across our land. We pray for the upcoming elections. Father, as we open your word, the message that Jesus preached 2,000 years ago was a radical message, and in many ways it's still a radical message even today. So help us again to hear the words of Jesus with open ears and an open heart, and to then obey the promptings of your Spirit as to what we need to do with what Jesus tells us to do. Inspire our hearts, our minds, even as you've already inspired your word, that we might grow in faith and become mature in the ways of God. And all God's children said, amen. Amen. Well, Friday night I was home alone. The family is in Idaho. They'll be coming back tomorrow. And I was just sitting on the couch, flipping through the channels. There's not really much good on TV on Friday nights. But as I was flipping through, I came across some movie. I don't even remember the name of it. It was in the middle of a scene, and it was a fight scene. And it was a great fight scene. I mean, who doesn't like a good fight scene in a movie? And these two were going at it. I mean, uppercuts and just, you know, oh, it was a great fight scene. And they started rolling on the ground, you know, and it really caught my attention. It was getting really heated in this fight scene. And the one person was about ready to just, you know, hit the final blow when they said, "You ruined my life. And now I'm going to ruin yours." And it was so good, you know. And who doesn't like a good fight scene, you know? It's the plot of an intense movie. But the reality is, it's not a good way to live our life with that philosophy. You ruined my life, so now I'm going to ruin your life. You did this to me, so I'm going to do that to you. Eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. And that's how the world has been. That's how the world continues to be. You ruined my life, so I'm going to ruin your life. You hurt me, I'm going to hurt you. You stabbed me in the back, I'm going to stab you in the back. You hurt my family, I'm going to hurt your family. And then Jesus comes on the scene 2,000 years ago, and he starts talking about this radical concept called forgiveness. Jesus said, "You have heard that it was said, eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth." That's how people have lived. You take out my eye, I'm going to take out your eye. You punch me in the mouth and loosen one of my teeth, I'm going to hit you right back. "But I tell you," Jesus said, and he went on and gave a radical message on how to live in peace and in forgiveness. Last week I talked about faith being the foundation of the Christian life, and I believe that with all my heart. If we don't live by faith, we have no foundation upon which to build our lives. So we've got to have faith, and as we grow in Christ, our faith moves from no faith to little faith to great faith. So if faith is the foundation upon which we are to live our lives in Christ, forgiveness then, I think, are the walls that can be built upon that foundation so you can have a livable house. And this imagery came to me as I drove down B Street. There's this weird looking structure on B Street. If you go to the post office and then you turn on B Street to come back to the church, you'll see this weird looking structure. Sammy, do we have that picture? I took this picture to show you. It's still up there. You can drive down B Street. It looks like there's a foundation of what used to be a house, but there's only one wall up. And I don't know why it's like that. I don't know why the city allows it. There's just one wall being held up by a couple 2x4s. And I drive by that on B Street and I think, well, this house is missing some things. It's got one wall. It's missing three other walls and it's obviously missing a roof. And to me, when we live a life of forgiveness, as Jesus taught, as we'll look at here in the scriptures, that's what builds the walls on the house that Christ is trying to build upon the foundation of faith. Turn to Matthew chapter 18. This is our main text for today. It's a powerful text, and it's something that we need to give attention to once again so that the Lord can continue to build us up in the life of Christ that we are to live. Matthew chapter 18, beginning at verse 21. Now, Jesus had just previously, in the verses before, talked about what do you do if someone sins against you? And it's not eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth, but he lays out very clearly the steps to take if somebody offends you. Let me just throw this out as an example. Let's say I offend my brother Joe. Now, if Joe were living under the old covenant and I offended Joe, Joe would come up and punch me right in the face, right? You ruined my life, I'm going to ruin your life. But Jesus gives us a whole new way to live. In verse 15, if your brother sins against you, go to him and try to work things out. So if I offend Joe, Joe's to come to me and say, John, you really hurt me, and I want to try to work this out. And the goal is then Joe and I can work things out, and we can be brothers in Christ, and things are good. If that doesn't work, then Joe is to find another brother in the church, you know, someone who is grounded in Christ, another brother or two, and then the three or four of us are to try to work things out. If that doesn't work, then we take the issue to the whole church, and because we believe in the collective wisdom of the church body, whatever the church says, whatever resolution needs to take place, we are to submit to the authority of the church. So Jesus had just finished talking about how to try to peacefully resolve issues if someone were to offend you. Well, Peter was listening to that conversation. And in verse 21, Peter comes up to Jesus and he asks, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Up to seven times? Now let me stop here for a minute. I know last week I talked about how Peter was a colossal failure and he failed in many ways, which is true. But here I want to give Peter credit, because apparently, we don't know the backstory, but apparently there was an issue, maybe, perhaps, that Peter was dealing with another brother. And to Peter's credit, he didn't just walk away from the brother who was offending him, but he was seeking clarity from Jesus on really how to go about fixing the issue. To Peter's credit, he really wanted to get this right. And can I say in today's culture, that is huge. Because today, if somebody offends you, oh, it's so easy. There's that little unfriend button that you can click, right? Or that block button. Or I'm just going to turn my back on them and not have to deal with them. Or I'm going to use social media and slander their reputation. Or I'm just going to get up and go to another church because I don't want to see them week after week after week. In our cancel culture today, what we tend to do, if somebody offends us, somebody wrongs us, it's so easy just to not even try to bother with them, right? And that happens way too often. But to Peter's credit, he really wanted to try to work out this issue. And so he comes up to Jesus and he says, okay, I got this brother, he keeps offending me. I'm trying to forgive him. How many times? How many times should I forgive him? Seven times? And then Jesus teaches this amazing principle that I'm calling extravagant forgiveness, extraordinary forgiveness. And using this play on words, on Peter's own words, Jesus says, I tell you, not just seven times, but 77 times, or 70 times seven. Fascinating. This whole numerical play on words is really a hyperbole. Jesus was saying, you keep forgiving that person as long as it takes until either they get it right or you are at peace in your own spirit. In other words, don't give up on them. We just heard an example this morning from Joanne about how after many years her family is being reconciled and being put back together again. It may take months, it may take years, but in our persistence, if we keep loving that person who offends us and we keep forgiving that person, the goal, the hope, the prayer is that there will be healing and reconciliation. In other words, Peter, you do everything you can in your power to try to make things right. Now, they have to do their part, and they may never do their part. But you, Peter, you don't give up on them. Why? Because I never gave up on you, and God never gives up on you. Extraordinary forgiveness. So we move from eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth, to going to forgive someone 70 times 7, which some of you have little calculators in your mind and you can compute all that. I don't, so I don't know what that comes out to. 409. See? You guys, I envy you guys with calculators in your mind. The point is, persist. Love. Seek reconciliation. And live a life of extraordinary forgiveness. If you are joining us on Wednesday nights, we are going through this book, More Than a Carpenter. And it's been a good study for us every week. This Wednesday night, we are in chapter 4. If you don't have a copy of this book, I'll give it to you after church. But chapter 4 is a very interesting chapter because he addresses the issue of science. Because many of the objections of people who don't believe in God is you can't prove this faith stuff scientifically. We may not be able to prove God scientifically, but there are evidences in the created order that point certainly to God. And I want to share with you scientifically what those in the medical profession have determined the benefits of forgiveness. This is from the Mayo Clinic. This is right off of their website. They talk about the benefits of forgiveness. And I'm reading right off their website. You can go visit it for yourself. Forgiveness means different things to different people. Generally, however, it involves a decision to let go of resentment and thoughts of revenge. The act that hurt or offended you might always be with you, but forgiveness can lessen its grip on you and help free you from the control of the person who harmed you. Forgiveness can even lead to feelings of understanding, empathy, and compassion for the one who hurt you. Forgiveness doesn't mean forgetting or excusing the harm to you or making up with the person who caused the harm. Forgiveness brings a kind of peace that helps you go on with life. That, my friends, is not from a church website. That's from the Mayo Clinic. They go on and they list the benefits of forgiving someone. Letting go of grudges and bitterness can make way for improved health and peace of mind. Forgiveness can lead to healthier relationships, improved mental health, less anxiety, stress, and hostility, lower blood pressure, fewer symptoms of depression, a stronger immune system, improved heart health, and improved self-esteem. And believe it or not, they go on and talk more about forgiveness. There are scientific, medical evidences that point to the power of what Jesus taught. Forgiveness. It's not just good for your soul. It can actually be very good for your health. Jesus went on and he gives this parable in Matthew 18, verse 23. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 talents, which was a lot of money, was brought to him. Since he was unable to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. The servant fell on his knees before him. "Be patient with me," he begged, "and I will pay back everything." The servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. Forgave him the debt completely. But when that very same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii, which was just, in comparison, pennies, he grabbed him and began to choke him. "Pay back what you owe me," he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, "Be patient with me, and I will pay you back." But get this, verse 30, he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown in prison until he could pay back the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed and went and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in. "You wicked servant," he said, "I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you?" In anger, his master turned him over to the jailers to be tortured until he could pay back all that he owed. And then Jesus concludes his story with this in verse 35. "This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother from your heart." The news account of something remarkable that happened last year came to my mind. Some of you may remember the story of Amber Geiger. She was the police officer in Dallas, and after a long shift at work, she, and I believe it was a mistake, mistakenly went to the wrong apartment, saw that her door was open, even though it really wasn't her door. She walked in. She saw a black man sitting on the couch. He was just watching TV. She pulled out her gun and she shot him in his own apartment, and he died. His name was Botham Jean. From everything I've read about him, he was a strong Christian. Was actually very involved in his church, helped with music and other ministries. At the trial, She was convicted and sentenced, and his brother, Brant, also a solid stand-up Christian, was there at the sentencing. And he said to the judge, he said, "Excuse me, judge, may I please say some words to Amber?" And the judge allowed it. And in one of the most remarkable displays of forgiveness I've seen in a long time, Brant said to the former police officer who had killed his brother, he said, "I forgive you." And then he asked the judge if he could give her a hug, and she allowed it. And he embraced her and hugged her. And fortunately, there were cameras in the courtroom, and they caught photos of that. And I think of that, and I think to myself, that is true forgiveness from your heart. When you can look at the person who killed your brother and say, "I forgive you," and then embrace them. Let me tell you a story about something that happened in my last church. My first church in Colorado, just a wonderful congregation. Renee and I had 4 great years there. When we went in 1998, the congregation was predominantly older, much older. We've got a great mixture of younger people and older people in our church, but the church there in Boulder was predominantly older. That began to change as Renee and I were there, but every congregation has its own story that shapes them. We have ours. Every church has theirs. They had an episode that happened back in the 50s when all those older people were younger people that I just want to share with you. It's a remarkable story. But there was a couple named Cliff and Louise. And back in the 1950s, they had a son. I think he was around 10, 11, or 12. And this was back when, you know, you could ride horses, you know, alongside the road. And their son was riding a horse just alongside the road. And there was another couple in the church named Wayne and Rose. Rose was Cliff and Louise's little boy's Sunday school teacher. And one day, she happened to be driving along the road, the same road where their little boy was riding the horse, and something happened. Either the car backfired and it spooked the horse, or the car hit the horse, but something happened, and there was a tragic accident, and Cliff and Louise's little boy died. She was his Sunday school teacher. Well, Cliff, you know, I knew him as an older man, and even then he was pretty hard-headed. Cliff had the hardest time forgiving Rose for that accident. You can understand that. It's human nature. For 20 years, Cliff held on to bitterness and resentment toward Rose for this horrible tragedy that had occurred. To his credit, Cliff didn't go find another church. He stayed in that church. But there was bad blood. And there was a harshness there. And for 20 years, he held on to that. Until one Sunday in the 1970s, a visiting preacher came to the church. And this evangelist spoke on forgiveness. And it must have so moved Cliff's heart that at the end of the service, Cliff got up from his seat, went straight to the altar, and started weeping. And everyone in the church knew why Cliff had gone to the altar. It took 20 years for God to work on his heart, for Cliff to finally let go and say, "Rose, I forgive you for that accident that happened 20 years earlier." Jesus said, "You must forgive your brother from your heart." Turn to Ephesians chapter 4. beginning at verse 31. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, slander, along with every form of malice. Just get rid of it. The picture I have in my mind is like when you take out the trash. At our house, the garbage comes every Friday morning. And I pick up the garbage and I just throw it in there. That's the image I get. Take all this stuff that's in your heart. Get rid of it. The bitterness, the rage, the anger, the brawling, the slander, along with every form of malice, which would include unforgiveness, and just throw it in the garbage. Just get rid of it. And be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Christ calls us to forgive not just 7 times, but 70 times 7. He calls us to a life of extraordinary forgiveness. I'm wondering this morning why it's often so hard for followers of Jesus to forgive. And I wonder if it's because we have a hard time forgiving ourselves. Maybe forgiveness of others begins when we have to forgive ourselves. And we come to that place of forgiving ourselves because we recognize that Christ forgave us. All the stuff in our past, all the things that we've done, if God will forgive us, we have to learn to forgive ourselves so that I can turn around and then forgive you. And so as we close today, I'm going to ask you to forgive yourself and say, God, because you are so rich in mercy and love and grace, and you forgive me, help me to forgive myself so that I can then turn around and forgive others.
Hi, I'm John Hanna, pastor of All Things Good, a church that believes in the goodness of God because God is the source of all things good. We are located on the corner of 18th and E Street in Springfield, and our Sunday morning service is 11 o'clock a.m. For more information about our church, you can visit our website at springfieldchurch.org. We look forward to meeting you, and I hope you have a great day.